nice to sing the hymns we are familiar with, isn't it? I sit on the front row and you can tell when the house of the Lord knows the hymns. So, well done. Your singing was beautiful this morning. Before we begin, let's pray and ask God to go before us. Father, again, I ask that you would go before us, that we would be attentive to your word, that there would be no distractions, that we would be hyper-focused on you. God, I thank you for how you show your hand and give me the security that we are on the path you would have us go. I ask that you would minister to our spirits, that we would have a hunger and a thirst for you, that we would recognize you are doing a work in our life, and that it is making a difference, not only in ours, but the people around us. Let us be a light in this dark world. Reflect you well and make you known. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we have made our way to the fifth Beatitude. We're going through the Beatitudes. There are 8, 9, and I think maybe 13, depending on who's delivering and you count the blessings in Matthew 5. So if you want to turn there, I'm all over God's words today, so you might just want to pick up your arsenal of pencil, write down the references, and check them out this week. Mercy is the fifth beatitude, and what I have learned from my study is that mercy fuels compassion. And I don't know if it's a good thing to have or a bad thing to have, because for me, when you hurt, I hurt. Because God has gifted me with compassion, and maybe one step further, empathy. I have experienced so many things in my life. When you come up against something, a lot of times I've been there too. So, you know, for people that have mercy, who've received this gift, they have an opportunity to provide glimmers of uplifting hope in this dark world we live. And when we exercise mercy, we are choosing not to be offended. When someone goes off half-cocked and starts spouting vicious words towards us, instead, we offer kindness and forgiveness. Because we have been given the ability to see the hurting heart behind the words that are being thrown our way. Some of us have experienced that recently. God's mercy is reflected in the way Christ responded from the cross. Those words, forgive them. They know not what they do. Mercy is a characteristic of the one true God that fuels compassion and acts of kindness, listen, that we have access to every day. I don't know about you, but I'm like just bubbling over with tingles because of this truth. If we're going to reflect Christ well and be a light in this dark world, we need to own the truths of God's word. I met a man not that long ago who understood this truth. He and a group of friends got together and he wrote a song with this message. It's titled, New Mercy for Me. Let's listen. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew there was nothing we could do to gain access to him. We need God. We have the opportunity to be in his presence every day. But do we leave it on the table? Are we carrying stuff that we have no right to carry? It's his mercy that carries us through. Because of his great and merciful love for us, the children that he loves, he made a way through the crucifixion of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We need to understand Jesus conquering death opened a way to God for us. The simple truth that we need to understand is that this way is given by the Father, purchased through the Son, and delivered by the Spirit. That is the simple truth of God's Word. And we can gain access through the reading of God's Word and prayer. Our strength is found in the power of the Holy Spirit that's living in us. Yes, church. Each day brings new mercy. Every morning, God is faithful. And you and I need to know, even though every day we fall short, and we do, God's mercy is offered to all. But for those who, listen, know of their great spiritual need and dependence they have on God, they mourn all sin. To the best of their ability, they refuse to exalt themselves, but have a humble attitude towards life and actively seek hunger and thirst for righteousness. We come to what we get. The fifth beatitude, mercy. Mercy and the ability to show and share it. Are you seeing how the beatitudes build on one another? It's imperative that we come week to week. And if you miss a week, go to the recordings to catch up. As is our custom here at Christ Little Tomahawkin Church. See how much easier Christ Church would be. Christ Little Tomahawkin Church. Let's see what God's Word has to say with regard to mercy. Right out the gate, my friend, Ruth, thank you, dear child of God, for being hooked up to the power of the Holy Spirit. Lamentations 3, 22 through 25 says this. You've heard it before. And what do I say when God's word repeats? Yes, pay attention. Lamentations 3, 22 and 25 says the steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, the core of his being. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those, listen, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul, that person seeks him. These are actions that we need to do. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Is God pursuing you? I mean, you can feel it when he's there. Now you need to take the action. Seek him. Wait on him. And in a minute, I'll tell you, cry to him. These are what we must do, what we must own. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, we read, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ while we were in our transgressions. Not when we stopped kicking the cat and going to church and giving, while we're still sinners. It is by grace you have been saved. Later in Ephesians 2, 8, the New Living Translation says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Mercy. Titus 3:5 makes this point clear. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit who is living in you. Yes, church? Yes. Our strength is in him. Can you honestly think of a day without Jesus? How do people make it through? The psalmist told us in Psalm 86:5, you, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. That's the action. Don't expect a changed life if you're not crying out to the God of the universe. And he's there. Jesus says in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Are you seeing the mercy of? Mercy is holding back what we deserve. 1 Peter 1, 3-5 holds us valuable information. Praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never fade, spoil. His inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I am so ready, Lord. Just reveal it. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Yes? God has provided a way to be close to him. And the Bible tells us what he expects. We read in Micah 6:8, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. This is our actions. Do what's right. Love mercy and walk humbly with your God. That's what we're to do. That's what God expects. And why should we expect he do anything if we're not doing our part? Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you, but don't expect the reverse. We need to do the work. Colossians 3:12 through 14 tells us, these are powerful words. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. So many actions in God's word. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Does the world look like it's full of harmony? We find throughout the Bible snapshots of God's mercy. For instance, in Exodus 16, we see the response of the Israelite people in the desert. As they complain against Moses and Aaron, and maybe you want to read Exodus 16 to get more familiar with the account, but we read in verse 3 that these people are saying, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. They moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and all the bread we wanted. But now, you guys have brought us out into the wilderness to starve to death. Doesn't it sound like you and me? Despite the rebellion and ungratefulness, because of his great love for his people, God willingly chose to be merciful. God's promise with them was out of his mercy. He chose to bless them with what they did not deserve. Listen to verses 11 and 12 in chapter 16 of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them in the evening you'll have meat to eat. In the morning you'll have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Show me the proof. Cry out to God. In their moment of weakness, he answered their complaint with the provision of food. And I might add, all they could want. Because that's how God works. The account of King David in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12 is another picture of mercy in action. David, a man after God's own heart, who as a boy, through the power of the Most High God, slayed bears and lions. Slayed the giant Goliath. Even so, at this point in his life, as God's chosen king, he has a moment of weakness. Commits adultery with someone's wife and then has her husband killed at war. From this we need to learn sin has the power to overtake the most committed follower of Christ. We are not exempt. But we also need to know what we need to do when we give in to weakness. We call out to God. David wrote Psalm 51 at the time he messed up with Bathsheba. In verse 1, he calls out saying, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Aren't you glad God loves us the way he loves us and not the way we love him? Just saying. Later in verse 10, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. When you sin and you know it, Psalm 51 is a great outline to pray. And God will listen and hear and answer. We should all have Psalm 51 memorized because we should be praying that, well, for me almost every day. Take a lesson from David. Consequences will always become a reality, but God will never, ever falter in his mercy for us when we call out to him. David took a knee, pleaded to the one and only true God, and he heard his call. I believe what God's word says to you. These aren't stories. These are actual accounts that happened. This man messed up and was forgiven. When you take time to read 2 Samuel 11 and 12 this week, you're going to see in chapter 12 at verse 13, the words that David heard from Nathan. These words, I believe, brought the greatest of joy. Can you imagine hearing these words? The Lord has forgiven you. You won't die. Although the consequences for our bad choices are difficult, they may even seem harsh, our merciful God never leaves us. We go to Him. He never goes away. God will do anything to get our attention. If there's anybody in the Bible who has a testimonial to support God's mercy, it would have to be Paul. Now, if you'll remember Paul, formerly known as Saul, just to keep us confused, he was held in high regard. He was known for the crusade against Christianity. He's the guy that killed who knows how many Christians. An encounter with Jesus. We get a glimpse of the turning point of Paul's ministry in Acts 9, 3 through 6. We read, "A light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up, go to the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" There's an underlying word that keeps showing up in this message. Two letters. Be attentive to it. Saul was blinded in the bodily sense, but his eyes were open spiritually to see His love. Do you recognize the love of Jesus for you? Have you seen Him? Because when you do, it makes a marked difference in your life. Jesus showed mercy to forgive him. The greatest sinner of all, according to Paul's testimony. I believe it ignited his faith and set his soul on fire that he would serve Jesus at all costs. Throughout his ministry, Paul encountered his share of calamities, shipwrecks, imprisonment, beatings, and others, all while he's writing to the churches and pointing them to the way they can have a relationship with God. Are you walking in fellowship with God? I'm pleading with you. It's offered. Pick it up. Run with it. We need to understand God will use anyone that makes themselves available. So two questions I want to pose today are, what would it look like to reflect God's mercy? Just conjure that in your mind. And then, what can we expect to experience when we do? So we're going to look like Jesus, and when we do, what are the benefits? What can we expect? Two questions. I had no idea how to reflect God's mercy. Fortunately, Luke gives us a little insight. In Luke 6, 35 and 36, he tells us, love your enemies.
Okay.
He says, do good to them.
Yeah,
right. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Because God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. That sounds like me. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Would you agree the behaviors Luke lists here isn't necessarily something that comes naturally? Until we have an encounter with Jesus, will we be given the supernatural ability to see the world with His perspective? Otherwise, we're just going to look like the world. We need a supernatural experience with the Savior of the world to make a difference in our lives so we can make a difference in the world. Who does God use? Ruth said it earlier. We're Jesus' hands, feet, and I add voice. If we can see His love flowing through ours out to others. That's what I want to look like. I want to reflect Jesus well. When we're merciful to others, the outcome we experience is it brings joy, peace, love into the world people are living in. And it brings joy, peace, and love into our lives as well. We don't have to be miserable. We can have the joy of the Lord. We're only in 5 of 8 Beatitudes. These were important to Jesus. They should be important to us. To reflect Christ well, to be a light in this dark world, we need to own the truths of God's Word. That Jesus, conquering death, opened the way to God for us, for you, for me. We have access. Thank you, Jesus. The truth is, the way is given by the Father, purchased by the Son, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. So what is God calling you to do? There are the two letters. Do. Go to the city. You'll be given instruction what you must do. What's God calling you to do to make Him known? Some guy about 10 years ago, 14 years ago, I don't know for sure when, was living a wrecked life. And God got a hold of him. And he was surrounded by a bunch of guys and clearly girls. And they wrote this song, "New Mercy for Me." I love the last line before the bridge. "This is the day. New mercy for me." Father, I thank you that your mercy never ends, that your love never fades away, that anything associated with you does not fade or spoil. You are a great God and worthy of all praise. I thank you for calling me by name and allowing me to respond in a perfect way. That we would be the church you created us to be and reflect you well in making known. In Jesus' name. Amen.